64th Mizmor, which Chazal understood to be a kind of a prophetic reflection on the story of Daniel. In the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, it's just an absolutely fascinating story. Darius becomes the king, and he's very impressed. And he wants to divide his his administrative structure into 120 basically different regents, and then there will be three individuals who are in charge of those 120, and those will be his direct reports, so to speak. And he wants to put Daniel in charge of those three. He's doing a great job. So, of course, everybody else gets jealous. And so they start, you know, looking through, his tax returns, so there's no funny business going on there. They go through his police records. They get a private investigation. There's no dirt on him. So they say, the only way we're going to get this guy is on religion. So they go to Darius and they say, you know, in recognition of your monarchy, you know, we want to make a ban on people praying for 30 days to anybody like besides you. He says, okay, you know, that's sounds good to me. Now, of course, they did this. It was a setup because Daniel used to daven three times a day. He would take a break three times a day from his administrative responsibilities supervising the Persian Empire, and he would go back home, and he had a room where he had windows facing Yerushalayim, okay? So if you're basically in Babylonia, so you're northeast of Yerushalayim, so you're facing the southwest, and he would daven facing Yerushalayim, which, by the way, is where we learn the halachos from of facing Yerushalayim. That's one of the main sources. And they catch him in the act. Is it the whole thing was a surprise? And then, of course, then you have the story of the lion's den. And the king, who loves Daniel so much, says, like, I can't really go against the rule. But part of the story that people miss is that Darius actually fasts that night. That Daniel is in the lion's den because he doesn't want to see anything happen. And he runs the next morning. He couldn't sleep all night. And he says, Daniel, are you alive? Did God save you? You know, the God that you serve so frequently, did he save you? And Daniel calls out from the cave. He says, no problem. We're doing okay in here. And, just in case anybody thought it, the lions weren't hungry. So they take the 120 guys that were conspiring against Daniel, and they throw him into the lion's den. It's a little grisly because they put their families in there too. And, it's described in the Tanakh, but they didn't make it very far into the den before the lions seized an opportunity. Let's put it that way. So again, you can read this very succinctly into the Mizmor of Tehillim. I'll just point out a few of the psukim that Chazal saw as really the prism through which to view this psalm. L'matzeach Mizmor L'David Shmalohim Kolivisichi. The conspiracy of the wicked ones. Merigshas poaleyaben, from their grouping. Asher shanenu chacharev l'shonam, that their words are really like a sword. Darchu chitzam davarmar, they have aligned their arrows to do something most bitter. Liros b'mistarim tam, to in a hidden way try to strike somebody who is blameless. Right? Daniel was blameless, and they admitted that. Pitom yoruhu velo yiro, and without any sense of fear or trepidation, they'll try to strike the one who again is blameless. But of course, just a few psukim later, God strikes back in return. Vayorem Elohim chetz pitom, God will shoot an arrow at them suddenly, as they least expected. Hayu makosam. This is what Shakespeare would call to be hoisted by one's own petard. And their very words came back to bite them in the most direct way. Of course, they were the ones who ended up being thrown into the lion's den. And everybody will see this. And they will speak about the God who saved, in this interpretation, Daniel, and they will be wise to the remarkable works of God. This is a direct reference to the end of the story. The end of chapter 6, Darius sends out a message to the entire Persian Empire basically saying, if you want to do the real thing, if you want to serve the real God, it's Daniel's God. Right? So that's what it says right here. Tilim Yismach Tzadik Badunai V'chasabo V'yishalalu Kol Yisraelev, all those who are Yisharim, all those who are people of integrity, as Daniel was, so they will rejoice in divine salvation. So it was an enormous Kiddush Hashem that Daniel made, right? Because he was unwilling to give up his loyalty to Hashem, even though he was in a position of great authority. He davened three times a day. He didn't have a minion to daven with, as you would expect, but he davened three times a day nonetheless, which is a very important thing. And when they tried to get him for that, he was unwilling to back down. And ultimately, because he was so closely affiliated with his God, and in such a position of authority, he was able to bring credit to the God of Israel from the entire world. The Persian Empire controlled basically the entire ancient world of note, except in the Far East. When Darius sends that letter, saying that this is the true God, that created a Kiddush HaHashem, perhaps of unprecedented proportions. So I want to wish everybody a Chodesh Tov. See everybody at 8:25.